Okay, we're in Hilchos Shabbos Parches, and as I mentioned last time, we're going to start getting into specific malachas, which the Rambam is going to go over the various shiurim that you're that you need to do in order to be chayiv in the malacha, and the various permutations and derivatives of the malacha itself. So, in Halacha Aleph, he starts off with plowing. That's choresh. So a choresh kol shu chayiv. So there's no actual shear of choresh, meaning there's not a specific amount a person has to plow. The very act of plowing itself is enough to make the person chayev. Now here's some of the derivations. Some menachesh be'ikri ha'ilonos, so makarsim asavim, or mezareid es asrigim kdei liyafos es akarka, harizet toldos choresh. Okay, u'mashiyasa kol shu chayev. So these examples are basically things like pruning or weeding, weeding around trees or pruning things to make them look more beautiful, aspects of gardening, all these things are told of Choresh. The Chol Mashve Pnei Asada, Kegon Shehishpil Hatel, Viriddo, O Mile Hagai, Chayim Mishum Choresh. And as well, let's say a person wants to, there's like a mound of dirt in his field and he flattens it, or let's say there's a trough and he fills that up. All those are derivations of Choresh and your Chayim, Vishiro Kol Shu. Again, the Shira is any amount. And the same thing also is anytime someone let's say there's like little divots in the ground and the person goes ahead and evens them out, and any of those situations, that's considered choresh and the person's chayv. Okay, halacha beis is zorea, which also is a little somewhat counterintuitive, but zorea means to plant. So hazorea kol shu chayv. Okay, so any amount, you don't have to plant a certain number of seeds to be chayiv. Any amount of zorea, you're chayiv. Now, hazomer se'ilan kadesh yitzmach harezem ein zorea. So let's say you prune a tree, and the reason why you're pruning the tree is to go ahead and ensure that it grows better. In other words, it's something that promotes growth. That's considered like zorea. Aval hamashket samchen ve'ilanos, okay, b'shabbos, reze toldos zorea v'chayiv b'cholshu. So there's a difference between the act of pruning, which will cause the tree to grow more, versus watering a plant, which also, again, causes it to grow more, but not in the same way as zorea. You can see why it's not necessarily of. It's producing the same result of more growth from the tree, but it's not the same source of maisa because you're watering it here. So let's say you take wheat kernels, and you soak them in water, like in a bowl of water. That's also considered a told of zorea, v'chayev b'kol shu. And again, you're chayev for any amount that you do. So that's zorea. Halacha gimel is kotzer. So kotzer is harvesting. So a kotzer k'grogris chayev. So now this is our first introduction into a shear. So here the shear of kotzer is a fig. A dried fig, to be technical. But anyway, a fig. So that's the shear you have to harvest to be chayiv. The tolesh, toldas kotzer. And the tolda of kotzer is tolesh, which means to pick. So therefore, v'chola oker davar megidulav chayiv mishum kotzer. Anyone who picks something or uproots something from its natural state of growing is chayiv in kotzer. L'vichach, tzorah sh'olu bu asavim, u'kshus sh'olu b'sneh, v'asavim sh'tzamchul agav v'chavis. So the Rambam I'm showing you are cases where So let's say, for example, in one of these cases here, let's say, for example, I grew a plant, like a shoot, on the side of a barrel, okay? And then I pick it off the barrel. So what you would think is, maybe you would say that that it's only picking something from the ground or from a tree, right, that's in a natural state that you're chayiv. You see that even if in any way it grows, you still will be chayiv if you went ahead and picked it. So even in a case, for instance, if a guy grew it on the side of a barrel, it would still be a problem. Hatolish ben chayiv shezehu makom gidulon. Right, so you're chayiv from tolish because that is the place for those things to grow. In other words, their growth is, let's say, for example, on the side of the barrel. Aval hatolish me'atzeh she'eno nakov pater. Now that's an important point. If you picked fruit, for example, from a tree that was growing in a pot that had no holes in it, okay, so it's separate from the ground, that's me'ein zeh makom gidulo. Okay, so that's the interesting exception because that's not considered the makom gidul of a tree. Okay, so in that situation, a person would not necessarily be chayiv. However, for atzes nakov bichdei shorish katan, but as long as there's a tiny hole in it for enough for a root to be able to go through outside of it, Harehu Aretz, it's considered like the ground, that Tolosh Menu Chayiv. And therefore, a person would be Chayiv Tolosh in that case. Okay, and he goes on by saying, in Allah Adala, Kol Zera Shekhsiraso Mitzameches Oso Umigiduloso, Kagon Aspachta Visilka. Okay, so anytime I do something to a plant where in harvesting it or shearing it, it actually produces more growth. Okay, again, similar to pruning. Okay, but as long as it is causing it to grow more, hakotzro bishgaga chayv shtei chatos. In that situation, if a person harvested off whatever it was or peeled off whatever it was that would cause his plant to grow more, he's chayv two korbanos. Why? Achas meishu kotzer. So the first one is because he's kotzer, because he's in a sense harvesting it, but at the same time, achas meishu notaya, but he's also planting. Okay, so this is a unique situation where the very action itself, right, this one action actually has two creative results. One is the removal of, let's say, whatever I plan on, whatever I'm using to harvest. And then at the same time, in doing so, it's promoting growth in the plant. V'chein azomer, right, similar to pruning. V'hutzarech le'etzem, chayim mishum kotzer mishum noteya. So if a person prunes, right, and he wants to make use of the branches that he is pruning, okay, so he's going to make a fire with them. He's chayiv both for kotzer, right, because he's going to make use of the wood that he pruned, and mishum noteya, because he's promoting growth of that tree, okay? Gav shushish shal afar sh'alu ba asavim. Okay, so let's say you have a big chunk let's say you dig a chunk of dirt from the ground, okay, that has in it, let's say, little shoots of grass growing, right? He b'yamal aretz, b'yinichal gabe yesedos, and you took it, or you took this big clump of earth that has in it these plants that are growing off the ground, and you put it on top of, let's say, some stakes, okay? Chai mishum tolish. That would be considered tolish, which is an interesting situation. Again, you're not picking the actual plant, you're picking the plant plus its, let's say, surrounding environment. But in that situation, if you put it on top of these stakes, it's considered to be tolish. At the same time, hai sal gabe yesedos, let's say it was on top of some stakes, b'nichal ha'aretz, and then you put it into the ground, chai mishum zareah. Okay, so those are two sides of the coin. Finally, te'enim sheyavshu b'ibayin, v'chein ilan sheyavshu pirosaba. So let's say you come across a fig tree or an apple tree, and the fruits have dried out. Okay, they're completely dry. Okay, doesn't mean you wouldn't eat them, but they're definitely dry. You're still chayiv and tolosh. A tolosh mehen b'shabes chayiv afopi shehen kurin le'inyan tuma. Right. So even though and when it comes to hilchos tuma, which is not for now, there's no din of tuma by dried fruits. It's still nonetheless considered tolish. And the Rambam is hinting at is that even though there's something lacking in the fruit, at the end of the day, since the person's picking it, that's sufficient enough to make him chayiv in tolish. Okay, halacha hey, similar here, okay. Hatolish olshin v'hamizar zradin, okay. So now this is talking about a specific type of pruning, okay. No, they didn't do that by atzah she'en anakov, atu atzah z'nakov. No, it's an interesting question, why not? But anyway, So what are you doing here? So you're pruning like these like little moist like shoots. Okay, that's the literal translation. Okay, now why is that important? Imla achila, and this is what the Rambam's going to get at. Imla achila shiura kegrogris. Okay, so if I went ahead and pruned these little shoots, and the reason why is I wanted to eat it, I have to do a shear of grogris of the dried fig to be chayiv. Okay, so again, if my intention when I'm pruning it is to go ahead and eat it, that's the minimum shear required. Then lebehema, let's say I want to go ahead and feed it to my animal. So then the minimum shear for that, shiro kimalu pi gedi. So the shear for that is enough to fill the mouth of a kid, of a young, you know, kid. That's the halacha if I want to do it for an animal. Then lahasaka, and let's say I want to do it to burn, shiro kedei levashal beitza. So then I'd have to remove enough of it to cook an egg. Okay. So, and he's going to actually now explain those shirim in a second. Hamba'amar Oakland, okay, that's when you gather together, all right, food. Okay, that was done by harvest. After harvesting was done, they would gather the sheaves together. Imla achilo, shi'uro kegrogris. Vim amar lebehema, shi'uro kemalo pigidi. Vim lasaka, shi'uro kede levashal beitza. Okay, so again, similar idea. That if it's for ochel, it's grogris. If it's for behema, it's pigidi. And if it's for burning, it's levashal beitza. Okay, now, what's a beitza? Ubeitza ha'amura b'chol makom. He baits a benonis shel tarnagolin. Whenever whenever halacha talks about the shear of a beitza, that size is the size of an average egg of a rooster. Okay, that is the shear that they use for beitza. V'chol makom shenemar k'dei levashal beitza. Okay, and whenever it says it's enough that it's that you took off enough to cook an egg, hu k'dei levashal k'grogris mi beitza. Okay, that's what it really means is to cook a fig of the egg, which means hu grogris echad mishlosha beitza, which is 1/3. Vein imor ele b'gdule karka. Fine, and the last point is that imor only applies for things that grow from the ground. Okay, like if I gather together. You know, what do you call it? You know, chairs, that's not emor. But what do you call it? But the key point here is that what the Rambam is saying is that these are the person's kavana will determine what shear he has to do in order to be chayv. Okay, whether it's for achila grogris, behema is mala pigadi, and hasaka is kedei levashal beitza. Okay, halachavav. On that same, on similar to Emor, Hamekabetz Devela, the Oslimena Eagle, okay, Oshin Nakov Teinim, Hechnis Hachevel Behen, okay, Achin Iskapsu Guf Echad. I took foods, let's say figs, okay, and I made little holes in the figs, okay, and I put a rope through them, okay, to make like a necklace, okay. Harezet told us Ma'amer, Vechai Vechain Holyotzebezet. So that's actually Emor, okay, that's again, you're gathering together Gedole Karka, but it's not in the exact way the Ov is set up. But by making a necklace out of it, you're in a sense some Makabe's veil is also you're making them very close to each other, you're sticking them together. In both those cases, you would be chayev the tolda of Ma'amer. Okay. Halacha Zion, dash. Okay, so dash is threshing. So hadash krid grogris chayev. So again, you see here by dash there's a shear. The shear is a dried fig. Vein disha el bigdule karka, and disha only applies to things that grow from the ground. Okay, now v'amefarik, which is going to be harehu told us hadash. Okay, now what's mefarik? Literally, mefarik means you're extracting something from its shell. The classic case is removing the wheat kernel from the husk. That's the classic mefarik. Okay, but as an example of that, hacholev es behema. If you milk an animal on Shabbos, chayev is mefarik. All right, so if you go ahead and milk an animal on Shabbos, you are over the you're over mefarik. V'chein hacholvo b'chay. Or okay, and also if I hit an animal, a live animal, okay, if I punch it, that has skin, which you'll see why in a second. You're chay mishumafarik. Now, why are you chay mefarik over there? Vehu sheyetzarich ledam sheyatzam mina chabura. So often there was a bloodletting that would take place where they would want to extract blood from the animal to use. Okay, so if I hit the animal and the reason why I'm hitting it is in order to extract blood from it. Okay, because the blood's going to come out of the wounds. That's mefarik. I'm extracting. I'm removing the liquid right from the animal. Aval in this gabin lahazik bilvad putter neshu makakel. This is an important idea. But if my kavana, if my intention when I hit the animal is simply to beat it, right, and it's not to go ahead and get the blood, but it's to hit the animal because I want to hit the animal. I'm putter because that's makakel. So again, one of the interesting halachas here is that. Really hitting something or someone is really by definition mekalkel, but there's a tikkun here in the sense that I'm able to, if I'm doing it for the purpose of getting the blood, then it's not considered mekalkel anymore. Veino chayev ad shiye bedam o becholov shehotzi k'grogris. And of course, I need a shear of grogris, whether it's dam or cholov, to be chayev. Okay. However, halacha ches b'medvar mamurim becholov b'behema. So all this applies to a case where I injure an animal, behema chayv of, okay, chayotza behem. Avala chobo bechavero. Now let's say I go ahead and hit my friend. Afal pishin iskavin lahazik. So even if my intention was to hurt the guy, or that's what I wanted to do, b'vei nachat chayv. Why am I chayv? B'vei nachas rucho. Because the guy is going to feel good. Sherei nis, because why do you hit someone? You hit someone because you're angry. Sherei niskara daito, okay, v'shacha chamaso. V'reihu kimisakin. It's a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara suggests that this is considered, it's not mekalkel if I hit someone else, because in that, and the case they bring up is, let's say, like, a gut. Yeah, you're like, yeah, the case of the Gemara is like, I get very angry, a guy's like very angry at his family. So there's actually two shitas in the Gemara, but the first one says, it's nachas ruach, it's a tikkun in him, it's a shinoi. He's now going from being very angry to, what do you call it, to less angry now. And that's the creative result. So even though I'm hurting the guy, and I'm causing him to bruise, and that's mekalkel, since it's going to make me feel better, that's why you're chayev. Even if I don't need the blood, that comes out. So you have a very interesting case where if I hit someone else, a person, I am, what do you call it, in general, the halacha, if I cause a wound, okay, that's why you got to be careful about these things, The reason why is what do you call it? The reason why is because you're doing it for the purpose of settling your nerves. Okay, halacha tes shmona shratzim ha'murim b'torah. Okay, hein sheish lahen oros l'inyan Shabbos k'mo chaya b'heim of Of. Okay, so the eight shratzim that are listed in the Torah. Okay, some of them have a skin or hide that apply to Shabbos k'mo chaya b'heim of Of. Or, but other ones don't have. Okay, so some of them do and some of them don't. Why is that important? So if you do chovel on a sheretz, okay, if you injure a sheretz, you're pater. However, okay, there's normally we would say chovel itself is a problem. But if I go ahead and I hit the animal or the shmona shratzim and I make a chabura and dam comes out, right? All right. Or what do you call it? Or I create an internal wound, okay? That in those cases, even if the blood didn't come out because it's an internal wound, I would still be chayiv in those cases. Okay. Halacha yotze, famous halacha. Shchita, okay? Hasochet es haperos, lahotzi mei mehen, chay mishu mefarik. So squeezing fruit on Shabbos is usher, okay? You can't take an orange and squeeze the juice out of it. Okay. However, veino chayev at shiye b'mashkin shesachat kigrogris. But you're only chayev right by mashkin when you squeeze out this amount, a grogris amount, a dried fig amount. So it's not just a drop, but it has to be a substantial amount. Vein chayev min the Torah el adricha zesim v'navim bilvad. Okay. But midoraisa, the Torah only lists the case, right? It's the Torah, or midoraisa, you're only chayev in the case where you're actually pressing olives and grapes. Those are the paradigm cases. Okay, but you'd still be chayev if you did it by orange juice, but not necessarily midoraisa. Umutal lischot eshkol shal novim l'toch ochel. However, and there's also a very interesting thing, and someone mentioned an atu before. It doesn't work here either. You're allowed to go ahead and squeeze grapes right into your food. To use an example today, like a lemon. Let's say a person wanted to put lemon on his fish. So there, it's permitted to do that. Why? Shemashke habala ochel ochelhu. That's an interesting idea, because the mashke that goes into ochel directly is considered itself to be ochel. V'nimsa k'mefarek ochel me'ochel. And now what you're doing is, you're mefarek food into food, or food from food. So that's why it's not considered something separate. In other words, normally by mefarek, we look at it as being separate. But here, since I'm doing it right into the food itself, that's considered to be, what do you call it? That's considered to be, it's permitted. Aval im sachat l'kli, she'im ba'ochel, but if I went ahead and did shchita into a kli that had no, was like an empty jug. Harezet dorech v'chayev, right? So then, what do you call it? I would be chayev in that, what do you call it? I'd be chayev in that case. It only works if I'm actually squeezing it directly into the food. That, okay, now also, v'achol v'tocha ochel, oha yonik b'piv, pater. So this is an interesting case also. If I went ahead and excreted milk, right? Directly into food, right? Or someone put their mouth, right, to suck the milk out of it, putter. Right, so there you'd be putter. You're only chayiv when you actually are what do you call it? Would milk into a kli itself? Okay, but if it goes right onto the food, that would be permitted. Okay, let's do a couple more here. Halach yud aleph. Okay, you have zorer and borer. Okay, which are very very similar. Zorer is winnowing, borer is separating. The Gemara itself questions why you have separate malachas, which Ram's going to mention in a second. But Zorer and Borer, you need to do a grogris to be chayiv. V'mechavetz, harehu toldes borer. So what's that? So that's making milk curdle. So in that case, that's considered a tolda of borer, because you're getting curds separating from the milk itself. V'cheina borer shmar mitocha mashkin, harehu toldes borer. Right? O toldes marakid v'chayiv. So what's that case? If a person separates out, like, the leftover stuff, like the dregs, from liquids, okay, we'll see that by wine, for example, that's considered borer, right? Or you can also say it's, what do you call it? It's a type of sifting. So either it's a tolda borer, tolda merakeh, which are both separating or sifting. Shazora v'haborer v'merakeh domenina nehem zelazeh. Because you see, borer merakeh, right, and zora, winnowing, separating, and we'll call it, what do you call it? There's borer, which is separating. There is winnowing, right? And then there is, what do you call it? A sifting. So those three, right, are all basically the same thing. So the Rambam says, and this is what the Gemara asks, they ma manu osan b'shlosha, so why have three separate malachas? Mivnesha kol malacha shahaisa mishkan monar osav ne'atma. So even though Borer, Zorah, and Merakid all basically produce the same result, since each of them existed separately in the Mishkan, going based on that position in the Gemara, that's where the source of the malachas are, that's the reason why they're treated as separate malachas. Okay, which leads us into Borer. Borer is one of those, a lot of lachas we did before, they do have applicability today, but again, some of this, a lot of that stuff is really much more agricultural. Borer is something that's very, very important today because it's, Borer is considered to be one of the more abstract, malachas because there's no true creative result you can point to. You're basically separating one thing from another thing. It's not like you're creating something new. But Borer is also often misunderstood. So the Rambam says, Lach Yud Beis, Haborer Ochol Mitoch Psolas. So if I separate food from, let's say, what I don't want to eat, okay, O Shahayu Lefan of Shnei Minei Ochlin, right, or I have two types of food in front of me, Ubira Min Min Acher Benafa Uvekavra Chayev. And let's say I have two foods in front of me, and I separate them out using a kli, okay, like a sieve, a sieve. I'm chayev. B'kanan otam choy pater. So those kelim are kelim that I could sift with, but they're not made for sifting. Right, so nafa and kava are like a sieve. A sieve is made specifically for sifting. I'm chayev. Kanan otam choy are what do you call it? Like things that can strain with that aren't made for straining, but I could use if I wanted to strain something. There, I'm pater. Now, pater here means I'm pater aval aser, meaning pater midaraisa, but I still can't do it. V'bira biyado la'achol alter mutter. But of course, if I do borer with my hand, okay, meaning if I take something out to eat immediately, then it's mutter. Okay, so that's always important to know that as long as you're doing borer at the time of ocha of eating itself, there's no iser of borer. Okay. And then going on to Lach Yud Gimel, the Rambam says, "Va'borer psolas mitocha ochel." All right, afilu biyado achas chayev. Right, but if I take out psolas from ochel, right, even with one hand, right, I'm chayev. Va'borer turmasin mitocha psolas shelahen chayev. Now, this is also an important case. If I take beans, right, these special beans out from their peels, okay, and remember the peels are considered to be psolas. In this case, I'd be chayev. But why? I want the beans, not the peels. Oh, because she psolas shelahen masekes osan kashishalku osan imaim, right? Because the peels actually can sweeten the let's say if I cook them, it actually is a sweetener and it adds taste to it. V'nimsa kibor psolas mitochochal v'chayev. So then you can actually switch it and make the turmesin into the psolas and the peels into the that which I want. So since there's a benefit, or there's something about the peels of these types of beans that are beneficial. That's why you can flip it and call up psolas mitoch ochel. Habora ochel mitoch psolas biyado lanicho. Let's say a person takes out that which he wants from that which he doesn't want using his hand, but he sets it aside. Afil lebo biyom nasik habora leotzer v'chayev. If he sets this aside even to be used later on in the day, that's considered like bora leotzer, which is Gemara's case of a person does bora to store it somewhere. You're chayev. Hayu lefan of shnei minei ochlim uravin. Right, but let's say I had two foods in front of me that were mixed. Bora echam echad u'maniach le'achol miyad. So I can separate one from one to eat immediately. Then bira biniach lacharzman afil lebo b'yom, right? Kigon shabira b'shachres le'achol ben arba'im chayev. But however, if I went ahead again, if I did bora in a way where I set it aside to eat later on in the day, even if I was mevara b'shachres to eat it later on in the afternoon, I would be chayev in that situation. All right, let's do one more. Halach yadad, hamishamer yayin. So this is filtering. Okay, you're filtering wine or shemen or mayim. This is where the idea of using a pour over comes from on Shabbos. V'chein shar hamashkin b'mishmeras shelahen v'chayev. So if I use a filter, right, to filter out, let's say, wine or water, okay, that I'm what do you call it? I'm chayev. V'hu shishamer kegrogris. Okay, and that's only if I what do you call it? Do it up to the point of a fig's amount. Av amisanin and yayin. Right, but I can filter wine, okay, to make it clear. She'ein bo shmarim or mayim stulim besudarin or v'kfifa mitzaris k'deishi etzalol biyoser. So, but I can take the wine itself and make it clearer, for example, or cleaner. Okay, so let's say the wine has nothing in it, no shmarim in it. I can go ahead and filter it. Okay, v'nosin mayim agabe shmarim b'shvil sheyitzlu. Right, and I can put water over wine, over the dregs that come from the wine, that stuff from the bottom of the wine. To what it calls, so it becomes clear. The nosen beitza trufa the masanenes shel chardal k'deishi itzala. So too, I could take an egg and I could put it over this type of strainer, which is a mustard strainer, in order that it becomes clear. That's okay. Chardal shaloshu be'erev Shabbos. Okay, so if I mix up mustard on Erev Shabbos, lemachar memachu bein biyad bein mekli, right, then I'm allowed to go ahead and mix it around and stir it up, whether by hand or a kli. V'chein yayin megiso kol zman shehu toseis toref chavis b'shmarea v'nosu l'tolcha sudarim. And so too, when it comes to wine, okay, as long as the wine is going through its process of fermenting in the barrel with the shmarim that are inside of it, okay, and I want to go ahead and pour that over, like, let's say, a cloth, that's allowed to do that. Why? Shadaino nifreshu shmarim in a yayin, yafa yafa, because when it's still fermenting, the dregs haven't really separated out completely. The chol hayayin kiguf echadu, and therefore, the shmarim aren't considered separate elements from the wine, it's considered one entity. So in all these cases, the elements haven't separated out, so I don't have two things to point to inside the substance.